welcome to Catholic Current, where we discuss our faith and events affecting the Church in the United States. From Washington, D.C., I'm Mara Moser. This week, we are speaking with Bishop Jeffrey Monforton, Chair of the Subcommittee on Aid to the Church in Central and Eastern Europe, and Father Anthony Corcoran, Apostolic Administrator of Kyrgyzstan. Thank you, Bishop Monforton and Father Corcoran, for being here with us.
Thank you, Mara. Honored.
So, just to begin, what is an apostolic administrator, and how did a Texan end up in that position?
So, apostolic administrator is basically the head of a local church in a place where there's not really the size or the structure or the power to sort of have a diocese. So, it's sort of the pastor of these people in a small church. Your second question's, you know, I'm a Jesuit. I'm a member of the Society of Jesus. So, when I was a novice, even. They encouraged us to think about what it is that we would feel like God is calling to us. And I always had this dream of being a missionary, and I had read Father Walter Chizik, so I was really sort of encouraged to think about that area of the world, and the Society sent me there. St. John Paul missioned the Society there too, amongst others, and I've been there now for 28 years in that area of the world, and the last 6.5 years I've been in Kyrgyzstan.
Wow. Now tell me a little bit about the country and its Catholic population.
The country is a very small country. It borders China on the east, and to the north is Kazakhstan, to the south is Tajikistan, and it's primarily Muslim, about 90% Muslim population, a little bit more maybe. Catholics make up a tiny, tiny groups in different little villages. We suspect maybe a few hundred Catholics in the entire country.
Wow. And Bishop Monforton, you've had the pleasure of traveling twice, to my knowledge, in recent years.
Absolutely.
To visit. Would you talk a little bit about those visits and some...
Absolutely. I mean, the first one was much more, I guess you'd say, exotic. First time to see something, and I had to look in the map to see just exactly where Kyrgyzstan was located. And I told my friends that basically, as kids, we used to dig to China. Actually, if we dug from Detroit, we'd end up in Kyrgyzstan. That shows you just how far away it is. And very much enjoyed the visit. Father Anthony was terrific with his hospitality, and it was a whirlwind tour going around the country, because you have basically, like we say, the cousins of the Himalayas that bisect the country as well. So to get to one side to the other in a good period of time, you have to fly. You can't drive, and sometimes you don't know if the roads are even washed out. So it was a lesson in the steppe climate as well, as but there's a lot of poverty there, but just the I guess you would say, the recognizing the resolve of the people there, and those who wanted to, you know, certainly wanted to be part of the church. And then the second time, at least I knew a little more of what we say, the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. And Father Anthony, we had known each other for 3 years since then, so it was good to have an opportunity when I got there. He didn't have to walk me through everything again, but to visit with the people, and some of the people remembered me and I remembered them as well, and great stories.
And of course, the bishop's such a great pastor that it was such a delight to be with him. And as you said, the people remembered then and remember now your visit. It was a great special. And that the people, the Catholics in these tiny communities, see the attention that other churches that are perhaps bigger, that are more established, they haven't been forgotten, huh?
Yes. So.
Any people that you met that really stand out in your mind from those trips?
A number, most certainly. An elderly lady who I provided confirmation, the grace of confirmation, of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was the first time I was there. She had been baptized and had received First Communion, but she had never been confirmed. And since Father Anthony was the apostolic administrator, I had to ask permission of him for me to confirm the lady. And we had three instances like that as well. So to have three people come forward like that was remarkable, and I was very humbled.
Mm-hmm. I meant there are substantial challenges to ministering. Certainly. And being a pastor in this area.
I love the cardinal of the young Cardinal Marengo from Mongolia has this great expression. He wrote a book called Whispering the Gospel to Asia. In the sense of that, if you whisper the gospel, how I understand it, you're there. There's a humility in it. You have to know the language of the culture. You have to have the trust of the people. You have to focus your words and be close to them. And I think of this as a model, huh? In this.
Pope Francis, speaking of Mongolia, recently traveled to Mongolia as well as to Kazakhstan, which seems like a lot of effort to visit a very small number of Catholics. What did that mean to the people of Kyrgyzstan?
So some of our people went to Kazakhstan, and I forgot how long it was, 30-something hours on a bus ride, and they were just so thrilled to be with him. I mean, again, he's pastor, huh? And that's the key, huh? The pastor searches out and finds, huh? And the people, again, they're aware of the fact that the church is larger. They, you know, we tell them it's the largest religion in the world, and for them, the experience of meeting other Catholics. So it's seeing, you know, the Holy Father, seeing the Pope, the Shepherd, on the territory which is that they would be familiar with. It blesses the territory for them, but it also they get to meet Catholics from other places, and so they still share about this.
Well, just to see Father Anthony, the people there in Kyrgyzstan, and as well as other places, see that, in the words of Pope Francis, we are a church of the peripheries. There's no room for silos in our church, and we tell people that we are their brothers and sisters. Well, we better act like it as well.
That's right. Pope Francis, when we have met with him on a couple of occasions as the shepherds from Central Asia, he refers to us often as germoglio in Italian, which is sprig or little tiny seedling, as if, and he says, as he did in Mongolia in his trip, you rightly pointed out that he was there, something to the effect of, to God, smallness is not a problem. It's a possibility, because God, is not impressed necessarily with size. And where the church is big, we must minister to, and it's a great blessing from God. And at the same time, God also loves especially to work through the tiny, as he did himself.
That's beautiful. I imagine a number of the people that you serve lived through Soviet rule. And how has the faith been preserved and passed along?
Well, certainly the older generation, which now are sort of passing on, they were these great heroes of faith. For 13 and a half years, I had the privilege of serving in Siberia in the 90s and early 2000s, and we got to meet these amazing people. The bishop spoke about this grandmother, say, huh? These are the people who had no access to sacraments formally. They had no access to community, and somehow they kept their faith. And not only did they keep their faith, the ones that did, but they encouraged each other in it with different signs, even with different ways. Some places it was the grandmothers who baptized the children. So in the 90s, of course, there would be Catholics who had never met a priest or never been to a mass, and at the same time had a sense of their faith.
Wow. Something we really take for granted here.
Yes.
Yeah, and so the Catholics are a very small minority in the country. What is that like?
Well, I think anywhere that the faith is a minority faith, huh? First of all, the relationship with their neighbors who are not Catholic and often Christian is usually quite good. And so there's almost a sense of sharing in some faith. Whenever you're a minority, as you know, it's something about your identity. You either choose it or you don't. And if you choose it, it becomes part of everything you do. And I think, you know, that's sort of the grace of being a minority, being the small.
You mentioned, sometimes people will crash the church just to take a look and see out of curiosity. And that's where the Holy Spirit takes over.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Again, the presence, you know, as we say, is the providence of God, divine providence, is perfect. It's the perfect plan. And for some reason, God so humbles himself that he works through someone saying yes. You know, in Russian they have this great expression, and Mary said her yes. И Мария сказала свой да. And that means everything. That she said her yes, and therefore I guess the implication is if we say yes, then providence moves itself on. And so whatever happens, God is never undone. You know, he's always got a way.
What do you want Catholics here in the United States to know about your work there?
Well, first of all, would you share something about that, Bishop, since you've been there a couple of times and you've had an expression? What did you find you brought back, if you don't mind if I...
No.
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. It's more than just a different culture and a different location, but the love of the Lord as expressed through their lives, and maybe, again, bring up the culture in that sense. But bring back not just the memories, but I have names and people that I remember in prayer. And they taught me how to be a better pastor as well, because sometimes we we like being in our comfort zone all the time. And when we get out there and have a chance to visit with people and they know we want to encounter them, that enriches my life as a pastor, as a Christian, and to live that expression of St. Augustine of Hippo, "For you I'm a bishop, with you I'm a Christian." And I try to certainly live that when I visited Kyrgyzstan.
It was a grace. And I find, when I became a missionary many years ago, there was an older missionary who had already retired. He had been, I think, in China for years. And he said to me, "Remember, when you become a missionary, say from America, don't forget that half of your missionary responsibility is to the Catholics back home. To share the voices and the experience," basically what he's saying is sharing how God has worked, and especially in the places and the times when these small communities kept their faith and have kept and can, to share that voice with the people here. It's often encouraging for the people here. It's something they can learn, and they're concerned. Then it's always the two way, huh? And the second thing I always tell people is really, I'm aware of the fact that being a missionary is not so much about geography of land or territory. It's about geography of hearts and minds and souls. Would you agree with that?
I agree with that. Just remember the times I visit the schools, I'll be asked how many countries have I had a chance to visit, being in the subcommittee and now as the chair, and I'll pull out a map and point out different locations, and I'll point out Kyrgyzstan. And the kids' eyes be like that, and I go, "Yeah, and your brothers and sisters live there, and they deserve your prayers just like they pray for you."
I did want to say once, like, there's been a couple of times, this time too, when I told people in one of the villages or something that I'm coming to America, the little Catholics, they've said, "Tell the Catholics in America hello." And I think that's a beautiful, touching sense of their connection that they have.
Yeah, and one way that Catholics here in the United States express their solidarity with Catholics in Central and Eastern Europe is through the collection, which in most dioceses is taken up on Ash Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Bishop Monfortin, would you talk a little bit about the work of the collection, and maybe you visited some of the projects?
Oh, certainly. Having the opportunity not just to do Zoom meetings with people, but actually to see them face to face, we'll assist institutions as well as dioceses, depending on where they're at. Like a church, obviously in Kyrgyzstan, needs more assistance in certain areas because of the limited number of people. A place like Albania requires help because 97% of the churches and all the structures were destroyed by the dictatorship. Whereas other locations such as Poland or Czech Republic are stronger, and they have other needs, perhaps. Like, we're partnering with Poland now to assist other countries, especially the leaders and the catechists from different countries as well. In the Baltics, they have their own needs. So one of the reasons, there are 28 different countries that we have, all of them fell under the Soviet rule at one time, some 45 years ago, others 70 years ago. But all of them suffered under communist rule. And we're here to help pick them up so the church can thrive again, and for them to know that we're here for them. And it's remarkable. The collection that we take on Ash Wednesday, people in the United States are so generous. The biggest challenge we have is to find ways, which amount do we give to Kyrgyzstan, what do we give to Uzbekistan, what do we give to Albania? And there's never enough. But at the same time, it's better to have something. And for that, I'm very grateful. So we assist in the mission to promote the church and to rebuild the church from the ruins that they came from.
Well, I thank you both for being here. Before we conclude, is there anything you would like to add?
I would like to ask. You're a parent.
I am.
And a Catholic from the United States. What would you like people in the missions to know? Because again, for those people, they're not considering themselves a mission because they're local Catholics. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what would you like to share with Catholics in different parts of the world?
Wow, that's a great question. I think just our immense love and our solidarity with them. You know, it's easy to not think about the entire world, right, and how interconnected we are. And I think that's the beauty of our faith, right, is that it's universal. So I would ask that you tell them hi for us.
Wonderful.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Mara. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Current. You can find out more about this week's topics by visiting us online at usccb.org or follow us on social media at usccb. I'm Mara Moser. See you next week.